Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, guess what day it is? It is hump day. We are halfway through this bad boy. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone is having a magnificent hump day. I bet you're like, why are you so happy? What changed? Last week, basketball made you depressed. This week, what's making you happy? The same thing. The same thing. And there's so much to get into. I have so much news and notes I want to share. I have some observations. Because I know before this show is over, I'm going to be called a hater. And my text messages will fill up. DMs go. I got a couple friends that have already been texting me all morning telling me that they know the hate is coming. This isn't a Chappelle show. No, hate. I make observations. Sometimes people like my observations. Sometimes they don't like my observations. But my observations are based in reality. And that's what I'm going to give you today. Because we have a lot on the docket to get to today. A lot. Darius Guy seems like he's just a bad guy. It really does. We'll discuss that. Lane Kiffin, snake oil salesman. I'll tell you why. Fernando Tatis Jr. slowly, quickly, however you want to say it, he is becoming one of my favorites. The Big Ten can't make up their mind. They don't know what they want to do at all. Some NFL notes. The D-backs, wow, they've found a way. They've gotten hot. We'll talk about that as well. And some sound as the Mercury start the second half of their bubble season. We'll get to all of that somehow. And I'm going to use open phone lines today. So if you want to call in, try to get in between some of this stuff. Listen, some people get upset because I don't get to call as quickly as they would like. Sorry. But if you hang in with me today, I will make every attempt to get to your phone calls. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And we are brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights locally. Get down there, become a club member. Get access to the members' lounge. You'll absolutely love it. It comes equipped with a humidor. You keep your sticks in there. Never worry about them going bad at all. It's an incredible selection that they have down at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. When you mention that PLR sent you, they take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Now, if for any reason you can't physically get your butt down there, don't worry about it at all. You can go to their website, Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. And that same selection that you see when you go in is right there for you online. Items ship out the same day, so you're not sitting at home wondering, when does this go out, when, how long do I have to wait? They're going to get your sticks to you. Now basketball is being played. They're in the middle of the playoffs. NHL is in the middle of their playoffs. Football allegedly is going to be starting soon. There's a ton of TVs down there, so go down there, check it out, enjoy a stick while you're watching one of your favorite sporting events. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, let them know PLR sent you 10% off your cigar purchase. And again, that's Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Okay. Where to start? I'm going to start with the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have remembered how to play baseball. And I'm not saying that in a facetious way by any stretch of the imagination. This was a team that couldn't get two things to match a couple weeks ago at all. And if you think that this is something that I'm exaggerating about, this was their manager a little over a week ago, Torey Lovullo.
It's been a different mindset, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I don't know if I should laugh or if I should cry, but we're going to be ready to play tomorrow.
Okay. Whenever a manager says, I don't know if I should laugh or if I should cry, that's not coming off of a winning streak. Let's just go ahead and be honest. That's not coming off of a winning streak. But somehow this team has decided two things together, to find two things that match. They have peanut butter and jelly. They have ham and burger right now. They're putting it all together. It started with a 13-7. Actually, it started before that because they won six in a row, but they won 7 out of 8. It started with a 12-8 win in Colorado. Yeah, they dropped the next one, but then they went 13-7 in Colorado. Then they beat San Diego 5-1, 7-6, 5-4. And then they took it to A's 4-3 and 10-1. And their pitching is starting slowly to catch up and doing some of the things that they were expected to do when the season began. They're pitching like big league starters. They're going to chew up some innings, and they're helping this team get to where they needed to go. Basically, there's Torey Lovullo talking about their starting pitching right now.
It's what we expected that group to do. A couple guys have been the catalyst for good things, and I think everybody else is jumping on board and making their pitches and doing things right. And, you know, we want to have them go deep into games by controlling the zone and winning the first three pitches. A lot of little things that we've talked about internally, and we've been watching our guys do that. And I know I say it every single time. Your starting pitching sets the tone and makes games look clean, or it makes games look very sloppy. So we weren't getting good games out of our starting pitchers. You could see how we were piecing it together, and the bullpen was kind of disorganized. But since they've brought on, they've been doing their job the way they've been doing it, it's helped things fall into place very, very easily.
Makes a difference. Their starting pitching was really struggling. And I don't know if it was a switch that was flipped or something just came together or what, but this team found a way to start playing and do the things that they needed to do to become successful, at least for a stretch. And that's really how you have to approach this right now, in stretches. Look, it's a 60-game season, and I think what the Diamondbacks did, in all honesty, and I know as a media, we were guilty of this too because of the way we were asking questions. And I think they were guilty of this because I think they let it get into their head. We all know it's a sprint, not a marathon. We all know that. You're playing 60 games and not 162. You're sprinting. But we talked about that so much, the sprint, that I think even in their minds, that's all they thought about. And when they didn't get off to the quick start that they thought they could, they started pressing. I remember a couple weeks ago, in an interview with Torey Lovullo that media had, I asked him directly, how do you manage the difference between urgency, worry, and panic? And that's what everything was kind of going haywire. One thing I will tell you about Tori Lavallee, though, he never gets too high, never gets too low. Always figures out a way, always keeps it calm. And like I was saying yesterday, they jump out early, and the starting pitching held up. They never let the A's get back in the game. Luke Weaver felt good. He executed his pitches, and he did what he needed to do to help the Diamondbacks stay on this track that they're on right now. In fact, he talked about just how he felt, Luke Weaver, the Diamondbacks starting pitcher.
Well, I felt a lot better than the other ones. That felt pretty good just to be able to make some big pitches early, have some good clean innings, feel aggressive, have like a dominant feeling and getting some strikeouts. And then on that last one, it just kind of fired me up a little bit. So it was a great one to build off of, getting more into what it feels like to be myself and hopefully kind of roll on that one, if that's the saying. I don't know.
Well, not only did he tell you how he felt, he created a new saying. Roll out, roll on that one. Anyway, he pitched well. He pitched very well. And one of the things, I don't know if you noticed, he pretty much alluded to emotion. You know, pitchers sometimes don't want to be too emotional. He said he has to pitch with emotion.
Yeah, 100%. It's that emotion, I feel like I just pitch better. I just feel like the game flows, more to what I'm trying to do when there's a little bit more emotion flowing. There's a little bit more, edge, I guess. And today it was just like, instead of trying to contain it, you know, as pitchers we try to minimize our emotions and really try to keep an even-keeled demeanor. But for me, like, there's got to be a little bit of a show of it, because if it's contained in me, then that means it's not being let out. And those that are outings, there's just too much of that. And so just kind of building off of those adrenaline rushes, those feelings of just dominance, and just trying to roll off of that and just kind of keep pushing in that direction.
And that's what the Diamondbacks needed to play with the whole time: emotion. And he did. And there's two different types of emotions. There's negative emotion. There's positive emotion. Tori Lavallee never let them get their heads down too far. They just constantly played and played through it. Constantly did. And that's what you have to do when things aren't going the way that you expected them to go or the way you wanted them to go. But he never had doubt. Tori never had a doubt that his team would come around.
Yeah, I felt like we would hit our stride and start clicking at some point. And we just had to be patient and as a coaching staff and keep talking to the guys about the good habits that they were showing us and good things were gonna come. And the Colorado series, it was more approach based for me that told me our guys were locked into how they were getting attacked. We were not coming out of our approach and swinging the balls out of the zone, and we were waiting for the good pitch to strike. And we didn't do it with a lot of home runs. It was just quality at-bats, and we brought that straight home as well. And these guys, like I said, have been working their butts off to make good moments happen. And when you see it play out, and you play this type of game today where we'll enjoy it and get on this plane and continue it hopefully through the rest of this road trip I think we're in a good spot. But we can't take anything for granted. We got to keep the hammer down, keep doing what we've been doing, going out with the expectation that we're going to win baseball games by being good, smart hitters each and every at-bat.
And the bats have come alive. So now this team is hitting. This team is pitching. This team is fielding. This team went from being the worst team in the National League West to jumping San Francisco, jumping San Diego, and being only a half game behind Colorado for that number two spot in the division. And if the playoffs were to start today, well, guess what? The Arizona Diamondbacks would be right there. Right there. And when you look at their record at 13-11, I know you're probably like, ooh, well, that's not like, you know, knocking doors down. But that will put them a half game out of the first place, in the National League East. And I'm comfortably in second in the Central. And like I said, they're only a half game back of second place in the West. A much tougher conference, or division rather, than the other divisions put together. So this team is finding that thing at about the right time. 24 games in, almost to the halfway point, and they're finding that mojo. They're finding that thing where you put together 2, 3, 4, 5 wins. The key, don't fall back. That's the key. You can't fall back. But I think this team has its head on, headed in the right direction. They got the right guy for the job. Never too far up, never too far down. And it seems like the D-backs are headed in the right direction. So I have my NBA observations for you. Now I'm about to work myself into some trouble. But you know what? I'm good with that. I can handle that. We'll see how much trouble I get myself into. Oh, my God. I'll turn the ringer down on my phone because I don't want to hear text messages all day. Sorry, caller. Dropped off the line. I apologize. You gave me like 3 seconds to try to pick up. Calling number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. We're going to step away for a couple minutes. Come back, and I'll give you my basketball observations right here on The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us this hump day. Wow. I'm so ready. I was so ready for this week. Kids are back in school, third weekend. This teaching thing. Figure out why I'm not a teacher. Figure it out. Didn't take me long to figure it out. And now I know. Love my kids. I don't know if they love me being a teacher, though. Always calling me mean. They've yet to give me an apple. Can you believe that? Anyway, like I said, this is The Cave Show. Welcome back. This is PLR. Make sure you're checking us out every day, Canada Sports Radio Network as well. See, there's so many outlets for us. But you got to check out KSR and download that app from the Apple App Store, Google Play, Play Store, wherever you find your apps at. You can check us out every day, 1 o'clock live. You can check us out at 3 o'clock on the replay. You have no reason to not listen to The Cave Show with PLR. So there was a lot of basketball played yesterday, So I have a lot of observations. I'm going to start with Miami and Indiana. Miami took the 1-0 lead, winning 113-101 over Indiana, over the Pacers. This was a great game, but back and forth, hard-fought game. I just think Miami's too tough. I think mentally they're just a tougher team. And like I said, you don't play at all for Pat Riley and not be tough. You don't coach for Pat Riley and not be tough. They're just a tough team. And they dig in. And when you have a closer like Jimmy Butler, scored 28 points yesterday, he's a closer. And he has a personal vendetta in this series. Him and TJ Warren, they just seem like they don't like each other. But they have a closer in Jimmy Butler. And it may not be the prettiest of series, but it's going to be a tough series, a very tough series. I said it goes seven. I'm going to stick to that seven. You know, because one team will have home court, the other one won't. They'll just basically change the music and some of the virtual fans so you could almost sort of feel like think you can sort of kind of almost think you're back home, even though you're not. Oklahoma City and Houston, listen, I started this qualifier by saying if Russell Westbrook plays, give me Houston. If he doesn't, give me OKC. Either way, it's going to go seven. Well, hell, if Houston plays defense, let me say this again. If Houston plays defense, hold on, let me repeat this one more time. If Houston plays defense the way they did yesterday, they're going to be a tough out no matter what. I know it just sounds weird to say Houston and defense in the exact same sentence. Put that all together. Doesn't seem right, does it? Houston in defense. But they're okay. They're going to be okay. The game that kicked it all off yesterday was Milwaukee-Orlando. Okay, Milwaukee Bucks fans. I guess here's where I start being a hater. See, when you're talking about the 3-4 team and the 5-6 team, it's like March Madness. It's like talking about the team that's, you know, seeded number 11. Yeah, you're going to see some good games, but you know they're not going to go all the way. And so you want to know what's up with the number one seed, with the number two seed. That's basically what Milwaukee is. They're a 1-16. In this case, it's a 1-8. But that one is about to get exposed. And when I say exposed, that doesn't mean that they're not going to make it to the finals. It doesn't mean that they're not going to win their series. No one is saying that by any stretch of the imagination. What I am saying, though, is they've been exposed again for some of the things that they just absolutely cannot do well. If you take Middleton off the floor, they don't really have a knockdown shooter. They have guys that can shoot, but they don't have guys that are just knocked down shooters slash scorers. Fletcher's a good point guard, but he's not a knockdown scorer. And sometimes he's a hesitant shooter. So if Giannis is not doing Giannis things, you're making a lot of other role players stand up. And I'm not calling Chris Middleton a quote-unquote role player, but he's not a star in the league. He's an all-star, but he's not like that closing star, or at least we haven't seen it yet. But for Milwaukee to win, Giannis has to dominate every game. He can't have a bad game. Milwaukee doesn't have the luxury that a team like the Clippers have, where if PG is off, Kawhi can be on. Or let's say PG is a little off and Kawhi's a little off. Well, as long as Lou Williams is on, you're good. Yesterday, Marcus Morris stepped up. Or the other day, Marcus Morris stepped up. Played well for them. They have other options. I don't think Milwaukee has other options. You have the two-headed monster known as the Lopez twins. One can play offense, one can play defense. And if you can merge them together, they make a really good one player. But Robin can't score. Brooke can't defend. That's a problem. Milwaukee being unable to shoot. That's a problem. And Orlando's a scrappy team. They shouldn't beat Milwaukee. Listen, there are some series that should just be sweeps. Because the longer you let a team lag around, not only do they pick up confidence, but you can get hurt going forward. How many times have we seen a team push to game six in a couple rounds and a guy sprains his ankle because he's in there playing instead of a scrub being in? When all they had to do was shut teams out, close the door on them before they could actually get going and feel that they're in the same league. Milwaukee needs to do that. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if Milwaukee can. I really don't know if they can. I don't know if they have enough. And if it sounds like I'm doubting them, it's because simply I am. Everyone already had them penciled in to go to the finals, except me. I changed before this playoff started. If you remember, I had Katie Heindel on, and I told her, I'm switching. I think the Raptors are going. I think the Raptors will be representing the East. I just trust the Bucks outside of the freak. I just don't. You know what you're going to get from him. He's one of the top players in the league. But is this the day that Eric Bledsoe has a good game? Is this the day Middleton does more? Is this the day that Lopez gives you a little bit more? Wesley Matthews, is this today? I don't know. I know they have one bona fide superstar. They have another guy who's an all-star who's pretty good. And then for me, it just tails off from there. It really does. And maybe I'm being facetious. Maybe I'm being mean. Prove me wrong, Milwaukee. I think teams that went down to this bubble, and I'll get into this a little bit more when I get to the Lakers after the break. Teams that weren't playing for anything at all, I think now when the bullets are live again and the intensity level is up, I think it's a whole different feel for the teams that were comfortable. And I think a lot of times when you're playing to, quote unquote, stay in shape, it's a different feeling when you're playing like your life depends on it. And I think a lot of these other teams are playing like their life depended on the win, because it did. Their playoff life did depend on the win. So we'll see what happens with the Bucks. I'm not crazy. I'm still going to pick them to win this series. I don't know if this is something Orlando can do consistently the whole season. The whole time in the playoffs. But I will tell you this. If Orlando comes out and they feel real good and they real loose and they put their foot on Milwaukee's neck early, it's going to get awfully tight in Milwaukee. Those shots are going to get awfully tight because you don't want to lose to an 8 seed. And you definitely don't want to lose to an 8 seed that everyone thinks you should sweep. Everything is tight. Defense isn't as good. Shooting isn't as good. Nothing is as good because everyone is now tight. Let Orlando mess around and win game two. Let Orlando mess around and be leading after first or second quarter. It all changes then. Then it's not keep your hands inside the ride. It's keep your hands inside the ride. Hold on to that harness because you're about to flip upside down And it's going to be fun to watch once all this gets shaken. Step away for a couple minutes. When we come back, I'm going to give you my Lakers observations. Open phone lines 917-889-7828. This is the Cave Show for PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Welcome back to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. It is Wednesday. It is Hump Day. And we all love Hump Day. NBA is going on in the bubble. The playoffs are here. Magnificent game earlier today between Brooklyn and Toronto. Toronto pulled it out. Listen, Brooklyn, I have mad respect for them. These guys are playing so hard. For a team that knows most of their guys won't even be there next year. A lot of guys opted out. Tyree wasn't right. He's not back. Kevin Durant is not right. He's not back. And this team just plays hard. You do not get an easy win when you play the Brooklyn Nets. Just doesn't happen. And the way Jared Allen is playing, is there going to be a spot for DeAndre Jordan? I'm just saying. I mean, honestly, I think I'd take Allen over Jordan at this stage in their careers, but that might just be me. Anyway, want to talk a little bit more about this game last night, the Lakers and the Trailblazers. Okay, let's just put it out there. The Lakers can't shoot, man. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I'm not telling you anything that you didn't see last night. The Lakers flat out cannot shoot the basketball. And everyone thinks that LeBron and AD are going to mystically, magically pull them through. And they might do it. I mean, they're that good. But when I'm watching Caruso guard Damian Lillard and try to pick him up full court, you know, for shots, for offense, Kyle Kuzma hits you with three or four spectacular plays throughout the game. But is he consistent? Dwight Howard picks up blow fouls where he just blows at you and the ref calls the foul. And JaVale McGee, every now and then he has an amazing dunk or amazing putback, but in all honesty, sometimes he really does look lost. He can't put in J.R. Smith all the time. Can't guard Brown on the paper bag. But you got to figure out something to get your offense kicking. And I know what you need to do to get your offense kicking. There's this guy on that team. His name is LeBron James. And I'll tell you something. I've never heard so much praise heaped on two people as I did over the last couple of days. We know Luka had a great game down in Dallas. Still had 11, 12 turnovers. We know LeBron had a great game yesterday with all, you know, triple-double, big time in points, assists, and rebounds. An incredible triple-double. But we give them a lot of credit in losses. I saw this the year that Cleveland lost the finals, and they still, people voted for LeBron to be the MVP, even though his team lost, even though they weren't clearly not the better team. And we see this happening a lot in a lot of sports. Guys try to think of ways to give guys awards. Well, they tried to think of a way to give him an award for that. So if they do that in a game one against Portland as a number one seed against a number eight seed, they're going to talk about his sharing and his unselfishness. And it's an incredible triple-double. Listen, I heard a basketball player say a long time ago, and I don't remember who it is, I apologize, but he said a triple-double is great. But what it does is if you lose, it just means you got yours and nobody else did. So, yes, he had a triple-double. Yes, he had an amazing game. But there were some things that were off. LeBron James does not want to go to the free throw line at the end of the game. He doesn't. And what's weird is AD, who hits free throws at a high clip, he struggled towards the end of the game on the free throw line. There's LeBron just talking about them shooting free throws.
Definitely, not normal for AD to miss two in a row. I've missed two in a row before. It's happened in my career before. AD shoots the ball extremely well. Definitely, wasn't expecting that. But we got to do a better job of making those. Those are easy points. Get the team in the bonus. You go to the free throw line, you knock them down. As the two leaders of the team, we got to go up and knock them down.
And he's talking about him and AD being the leaders of the team. They got to knock those down. Listen, LeBron probably could have had 8 more assists if guys could get shots. I understand that. But it's not just that. It's the way you play the game. It's not looking for refs to bail you out. AD talked about looking for the refs to bail you out, looking to play a certain way, looking to do a certain thing when you're basically coming off of a game. It's hard to do.
They got a couple good rim protectors, especially Whiteside. He's always tough to score on, especially in the paint. But we miss him, especially in that first half. I missed a couple, really easy ones. We just gotta play through contact. Don't look for the fouls. And just play through it, and don't try to let the ref start the game. We're looking for fouls early. We just got to play through it and take our time and finish at the rim regardless of our problems.
Now, here's what I don't get. Because in saying all that and saying how you have to hit your free throw, saying everything you got to do, AD talks about still playing.
No, obviously we want to retain the play fast. Just knowing they're playing a lot of minutes, but we try to just play fast and play how we play. We know that they've been playing a lot of games, and every game here in the bubble has been a game 7 for them. So, we just try to continue to play with a lot of pace, a lot of energy, and put a lot of pressure on them. How we did in the second quarter, but we got to do it for the entire 48.
And you got to make some shots, AD. Here's my worry. Playing with pace. I keep hearing teams say playing with pace. If you're forced to go half court because these are the playoffs, you got to be able to deliver there too. I think playing with pace plays into Portland's hands. So there are going to be some things that are different. For one, your best player, LeBron James, is 35 years old, and they're playing every other day. So fatigue is going to step in. It's going to rear its head. Fatigue and tiredness are going to help. And if you expect him to do more, which is what I'm going to get to in a minute, how do you rest him? LeBron can steal breaks on the defensive game, but he can in the series because he's playing in the backcourt, which means he's playing against Dame or CJ. It's not one of them offenses where you can put him on the worst two guard. Well, there's no worst two guard. Well, you can put him on the worst three. Well, that's mellow. Well, you can put him in. There's nowhere to hide because these guys are pulling. Gary Trent Jr., Carmelo, hell, even Nurkic can hit threes. This is the worst matchup for the Lakers. The worst matchup that they could have ever come across. So I'm really curious to see how they do this because they're going to need a lot of scoring from LeBron, especially if these other guys can't throw the ball in the ocean. It's going to make a big, big difference. Their team can't shoot.
We had some great opportunities. We had some great looks. Just didn't knock them down. Nothing you can say about it. you know, we created a lot of great looks. I just wanted to make a ball.
So let me get this right. AD says they need to play with pace. LeBron says they need to shoot. And they got to be able to shoot. They haven't been able to shoot all year. You don't just mystically learn how to shoot. And then the problem is you're playing a team that can shoot. You play a team that can launch just from anywhere. Raise up. Damian Lillard, raise up and launch from anywhere. And LeBron talking about the way they played coming down the stretch. Portland anyway.
Which you can't have down the stretch, especially versus a team that's red hot like Portland. And those two, you know, the two-headed monsters are the ones who kind of, you know, made the plays. CJ hitting a big three, Damian a couple threes as well. And then Melo hitting the three late and Gary Trent hitting a three. So they had five threes late in the game. After we had done an exceptional job of trying to keep them off the three-point line. But, you know, they made plays, enough plays to win the game down the stretch we didn't.
And they created for themselves. You look at their bench. When Dame hit that 40-footer almost, their bench just got live. Because there's no atmosphere in there. You got to create your own atmosphere. And someone asked LeBron that dumb question. How do you create atmosphere? Putting the powder on your hand, storming around. How do you create it? Was actually kind of a dumb question this late into it, but here's LeBron's reaction.
Like I continue to say this is different. It's a different in an aspect of this. I mean, I'm in a bubble with no fans. But as far as me being locked in on the game plan, that doesn't change. Not one bit. Me going out and making plays, playing at a high level, try to help our team win. That was the same. Nothing changes from that. That's the same me.
What else can you say? I mean, literally, what else can you say? I want to kind of go back to this playing at pace thing, because like I said, I think that plays into the hands of Portland. I think they're a team that wants to get up and down the court. And like I said, you got Dame launching from everywhere. Hell, he launched, and then he busted out into a dance towards the end of the game. I don't think I've ever seen Dame dance. C.J. McCollum talking about seeing his teammate dance and on defense that they played. Because remember, Lakers don't have great shooters. You just have to contest those shots.
The first question you asked about our defense is the playoffs. Games have changed. The situation has changed. You focus on one opponent. You get to understand tendencies. You get to understand play calls better. We're not playing a different opponent every other day. It's just focusing on one. So both teams are more locked in, more focused, and understand how they're going to achieve stops and get a win. Secondly, Dame is very comfortable, especially when he's open usually. So I'm not surprised he was dancing. I didn't see it. I wasn't paying attention, but that's him. He can dance all he wants if he's going to shoot from half court and score 30.
He dances all he wants to. He said, you didn't have shots from half court. You can do what you want to do. But I don't know if you watched this game all the way through. When this game was over, there was no celebrating. In fact, guys made it short. They wanted everyone to know that we've done nothing. C.J. McCollum, there's still work to do.
We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things to tighten up on. We defended extremely well, but we still gave up some easy baskets. We put guys in the free throw line a lot. So there's some things we can tighten up. When we shot 38% from the field, I didn't shoot particularly where I had five turnovers. I got to do a better job. I had zero assists. So there's a lot of things we can improve upon collectively and take that into game, too.
There's a couple things that Portland did that I liked a lot. At one point, they were just getting crushed on the boards. Getting crushed. And they subbed in Hassan Whiteside. But they didn't sub him in for Nurkic. They allowed them to play together, and it created a ridiculous amount of headache for the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's Dame talking about
it. It was big time, and we knew coming into this series, once we got here that they got a lot of guys that are active in the paint, JaVale McGee, AD, Dwight, they big in there. So we need our big guys to have a presence in the paint on both ends of the floor. So, this series is big for us as far as, Shug being on the floor. And I thought tonight how he protected the paint, he blocked shots, he changed shots, he rebounded. He just had a positive impact on the game. I think without him out there tonight, we don't win this game. So we need that type of effort from him.
And like you heard me say, it's one game to them. That's it. No time to celebrate. One game.
Everybody has to, because your season is on the line. And we should be proud that, we pulled the first one out. It takes a lot of work to do it, but I think you just got to move on to the next one. We didn't have some big discussion like, oh, we haven't done anything, because we have. We won a game. But we smart enough to know it's like we won the game. That's a good thing. Now we got to prepare for the next one. We're not just overly trying to act like we're not proud of what we did, because we are. But we also not going to rest in it and pat ourselves on the back. We're going to try to figure out the things that we didn't do well that we can do better next game, and just try to give ourselves a chance to win the next game.
What's crazy is someone had the audacity to say, now you can afford to lose the game. Do people actually watch sports? At the best of seven, you can't afford to lose any game. It kills your momentum. Dame talked about that.
Well, that doesn't really make sense, to come into a game thinking you can lose a game. I think you come into every one trying to win it. The key of the playoffs is the first team to win four games, so I don't think it makes any sense to ever come into a game saying we can lose one. I think you always want to try to extend your lead in the series. And that's what our mentality is. We also know that it's only going to get harder from here. They're a great team. They're the number one seed in the West for a reason. So it's going to get harder, but I'm not concerned with our mentality going forward, because I know my team. I know who we are. I know guys' personalities, and I know their style individually. And the leaders of our team, myself, CJ, Mello, Nerk, team is going to go as we go, as far as the mentality, and I know what that is, so I'm not concerned about it at all.
And there you go. This guy's been so cool. He finally let a little emotion show with hitting another 40-foot shot, having a little dance step, but he talked about effort, and then he talked about paying his homage to
I thought it was just a great effort by our team. From the start of the game, I thought we came out with the levels of focus and energy that we needed to against, the best team in the league. We defended. We played together. I thought we shared the ball. And, we didn't have any major lulls. Obviously, they made a run. It's a game of runs. But when they got down the stretch, I think we just, we kept our heads down. We kept working. We made the plays on both ends to be able to pull out a win. We know that it's only going to get harder from here. It's just one game. And the job is far away from being done. But I'm proud of our effort and getting the first one. And when the two short came on, I was feeling good. My hometown was East Oakland was being represented in the arena, so I had to show my love.
So here's what we have. We have Portland still in game one. And I know I've seen all over the place who's in more trouble. Milwaukee is a one seed losing, or the Lakers is a one seed losing. That, again, is a dumb question. Even though Milwaukee can't shoot, they're playing Orlando. Portland, they can't shoot, they're playing a team that can get real hot, real quick, real fast with a guy that can pull from the parking lot. It's going to make a difference. Now, I'm not crazy enough to count LeBron James out. But a 35-year-old man playing every other day that's going to be asked to do even more. Father Time is undefeated. It catches everyone. And LeBron is getting real close to that buzz. Step away one more time, 15 more seconds. Come right back. We'll wrap this up. Got a little bit of sound from the Mercury. I got some news and notes that I want to get to as well. We'll do that in exactly 15 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. About to wrap this bad boy up. A couple of news and things we want to get to. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Facebook, Instagram, Caves with a K, sportscave.com, Caves with a K. And of course, you get me at PLR on sports. I'll remind you of this again when we wrap up. But I do want to talk just a little bit about those Mercury. They're about to start the second half of their season. Everything didn't go exactly the way they would want it to get it started, but they are on the right side of 500. They are qualified for the playoffs if they were to, quote-unquote, start today. But there's some things that they have to just shore up. One of the things I know I asked Sandy Brundello, the head coach, about, I want to say about a week ago, maybe a little bit more about rotations. And I was just curious if she had – a rotation now that she's comfortable with, and this is what she said about that.
I mean, yes and no. You kind of know, but it's still, you know, play it by ear because, you know, some of my bench players didn't give us the right energy in the last game, and but you know, some of our starters as well too. But it wasn't that. So it's just really trying to find the right matchups in any given night. You kind of know what the rotations are to get an opportunity, and you know, and hopefully we can get the right combinations that we need to win a game. And I don't think I'm totally clear on it, no. You know, still trying to work out some of that little thing. But I keep telling everyone is important, so we have to make sure, regardless of how many minutes you play, that we bring, you know, we play hard and we control what we can control with that energy, talk, and doing the little things well.
And that's what they have to do. They're going to restart tonight against the Sparks. So this team has to get going. And this team really did dodge a couple bullets. Diana Taurasi, the GOAT, who looked like she could have possibly hurt her back again. It wasn't her back. So she's back in action playing. Bria Hartley, who had a foot injury, she's back playing. So two people that are very important team are back playing. That means a lot. Now it's a matter of building that cohesiveness, not just between the big three, but everybody else, so everybody can learn their roles and how they fit in with that. And one of the things I talked to Diana about was sometimes we have a big three or a big two, whatever you want to call it. This happened down in Miami when LeBron bolted to go down there to play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. There was a time where they got into that, okay, it's my turn, no, it's your turn. Okay, it's my turn, no, it's your turn. And I talked to Diana, I wanted to know, how do you guard against that type of mentality?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy to do. I think it's been rather seamless in our way, as far as I think the three of us are very unselfish and we just want to win. And you know we're frustrated because we're not winning at the clip we want to win. It doesn't matter who's scoring, who's hot. We just want to figure out a way to win games. And I think we're still trying to figure out what that looks like as far as, you know, long stretches on the court. And, you know, and there's certain things that, you know, maybe worked last year that aren't working this year, that worked for, you know, Skyler and Dallas, that aren't, you know, working here. So it's still a work in progress in a lot of ways. And there's still times when we're on the court and, you know, we're talking about things that maybe, you know, I like it this way, or BG likes it this way, or Diggs wants, you know, screen set this way. So it's all still, you know, a work in progress. And, you know, hopefully in this next stretch of games, we can, you know, start figuring things out that feel good for, you know, hopefully a long, long run in the playoffs.
And there you go. You got to figure it out. You got to figure out how all those parts put together. Well, the one bright spot for them has been Bria Hartley. We knew what Diana could do, what Skyler could do, what BG could do. It was a matter of what could Bria do. And she came out and she's been hot. And I asked her, has it been a surprise to see Rhea Place? Or
actually, not what? Surprised, because I know, most people just see players in, a 3-month stint in the WNBA, and, there's this whole other year of basketball that gets played on a different continent that, people have no clue about. And for me, for whatever reason, the 9 months she plays in overseas basketball, to me, I was always like, man, Bria is killing over there. I would always track her, whether she was at Gala or before that when she was, on a French team, and she always played really, really well and then would come to the WNBA. And, I think maybe the style of play didn't suit her as well. And am I surprised? No, because I think I've always known Bria to be a very, very good basketball player, great scorer. So I want to see. I'm not surprised. I'm happy for her, if anything.
And they're going to need her. They're going to need a lot to get through the rest of this year. Health is the thing that they're going to need the most. Cohesiveness on offense and defense. And I think this team will be okay. They can make a deep run. They just got to constantly play together and hope that injury bugaboo stays away. Last minute, let's wrap this bad boy up. Lane Kiffin, snake oil salesman. Let me tell you something that he said. He thinks Big Ten and Pac-12 players should start to transfer if at all possible. Lane, money man Lane, how do you transfer without a scholarship? Are you going to offer extra scholarships? No, I don't think so. So they get in that transfer portal, but there's nothing they can do. And then he decided to hit us with this brainiac quote. The big challenge is not when they're with us. The big challenge is when they're away from us and dealing with this. And they're doing a good job because the college environment is not doing a very good job of it and the environment in general. So kids that aren't athletes aren't doing well. Society's not doing well. Kids that play football, they are doing well, right, when they're with the team and the program. You know what kids do when they don't play football? They go back to doing what they do when they're 19 and they don't play football. So Lane Kiffin, keep selling that snake oil, bro. Got to have a scholarship to take the players, and you're having the same problem as everybody else. More football, Darius, guys. He seems like a bad dude. More ladies are stepping up saying that he raped them. I don't need to continue on this. You know where I would go. If it's true, lock him up. Plain and simple. Fernando Tatis Jr. stole third base with the lead. I wonder what unwritten rule he broke doing that. I don't care. He's becoming my favorite player. I hope he's still second base next time, up 20. Give it a crap. Play baseball. You win. What did Herm say? You play to win the game. Plain and simple. Big Ten, they got more teams than 10, but they're all looking at each other saying, did you vote no in the season? When it came down 12-2. I tell you who voted no. Who said let's cancel the season? Everyone except Nebraska. And I think Nebraska had one other team with them. It may have been Iowa. You know who voted to kill the season? Everybody but those two. So you don't need to look around and find out who voted. I'm telling you who voted. Everybody. And now they're trying to backtrack. A possible 10 teams, or excuse me, 5 teams to play each other twice to get 10 games. I have more on this nonsense tomorrow. Those are the news and notes. We're wrapping up. Make sure you follow us on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with a K. I am on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thank you for hanging with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. More news and notes, more stuff from the NBA, more sounds. This is the place, the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. And you know how we end this? Mighty Temps. Bring us home.